The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We give you glory, we give you praise, riches and wisdom, honor and strength, King of the ages, ancient of days, we give you glory.
Let's sing it two times. We give you glory,
we give you glory. Riches and wisdom, honor and strength.
Come on, church.
King of the ages, ancient of days.
Ah, yeah.
We give you glory. We give you.
We give you glory.
We give you glory. We give you praise. Riches and wisdom, honor and strength. King of the
time. We give you glory.
We give you glory. We give you praise. Riches and wisdom, honor and strength. We call the ages ancient of days. We give you glory. We give you praise.
So we are dancing around. We are dancing around to our Father. Everywhere they know they talk about us, oh, Baba.
Now you be my defender.
Your love for me, they know they talk and finish. Cause when they gather, now you they scatter them.
Scatter them.
Say with your name, we no go make them this far.
Say
what I them wanna go call my Jesus.
Oh. My Jesus.
And every day they talk about us.
Oh. About us. Hey.
Now you be my defender. Ah, your love for me, they know they talk and finish.
Talk and finish.
Cause when they gather, now you they scatter them.
Oh. Scatter them.
Oh.
Go,
go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go
Song. Come on. We're going to dance that this morning.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. On the map we require. Some things are beautiful, but there are things that you will see. Oh. Things that you will hear. Oh. You will know that this is the hand of God.
Come on.
Some things are good.
Ah, yeah.
Some things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see. Things that you will hear.
You will know that this is the hand of God.
Ide bube. Ide bube.
Ah, yeah.
Ide bube.
Look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
I see the devil
bear.
the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
Aya. Some things are good.
Some things are good.
Yes, yes, yes.
Some things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see.
Things that you will hear.
Things that you will hear. You will know that this is the hand of God.
I say some things are good.
Some things are good.
Other things are beautiful.
Some things are beautiful.
But
there are things that you will see. Things that you will hear.
Something you can remember in your own life. Come on. Is that something you can remember? We're going to rejoice this morning. Aya. Some things are good.
Some things are good.
Some things are beautiful.
Some things are beautiful.
But listen.
But there are things that you will see. You. Things that you will hear. You will know that this is the hand of God.
Some things are good.
Some things are good.
Other things are beautiful.
Some things are beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are things that you will see. Things that you will hear. You will know that this is the hand of God.
Say, Ide Bube.
Ide Bube.
Ide Bube.
Ide Bube.
Come on.
Just look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.
Share with your neighbor one of those things that happened this year for you. One of those things that happened this year for you. That you know that this one was God. This one was God. One of those things. I am. But there are things that you will see. You. And things that you will hear of. I am. Share with your neighbor one of those things. One of those things. One of those things that happened this year. That you are so sure this one was God. They thought it would not happen, but the Lord said no to them. Aya, some things are good.
Some things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see. You. Things that you will hear.
Some things are good.
Some things are good.
Some things are beautiful.
Some things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see. Things that you will hear.
You will know that
this is the hand of God.
Say some things are good.
Some things are good.
Some things are beautiful.
Some things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see. Things that you will hear.
You will know that
this is the
say some things are good.
Some things are good.
Some things are beautiful.
Some things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see. You. Things that you will hear.
You will know that this is the hand of God.
Say Ide Bube. Ide Bube.
Come on.
Ide Bube.
Look what the Lord has done.
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 Let me hear the church. Ide Bube sing. Come on. Tell your neighbor, look what the Lord has done. Tell that person, some things are good. Other things are beautiful. But there are things that you will see. You. Like this that you will hear of. You will see that this is the... Can we give a loud shout in this? Tell your neighbor, you can do it right and do it big. Tell us you can do it right. And do it big. Tell the person, it doesn't have to be false to be big. It can be right and still be big. Do you believe that, somebody? Yeah. It can be right and be big.
It can be right and be big. It can be right and be big. I get what I'm saying. The days are coming to an end when they will say every young boy driving a big car is a Yahoo boy. It can be right and be big. Are you following what I'm talking about? When they will say every young guy that is spending money carelessly is a Yahoo boy, it's not true. It can be right and be big. The days are coming, and when they will say all these rich churches, the reason they are rich, because they are manipulating people to get money. It can be right and be big. It can be simple and be powerful. It can be, I get what I'm saying now, simple and powerful. Same, not complicated, simple. None of these people say when they come out of our ministry, it's the simplicity we carry in ministry. Sometimes we talk so simply and act so simply that when the glory finally falls in, people are wondering, how did this even start? It can be very simple. You don't have to sound like Elijah. You don't have to try to. It can be simple and be powerful. And in your business, you don't have to cut corners. It can be right and be big. One of the things we had to deal with when we were building this, when in the process of this building, is the inconsistencies in artisans. One will bring price, sometimes they double the price. God helped us a lot in this process. One of the people here brought their price. By the time he brought it, we did our due diligence by the help of God. He was going to cheat us by over 50%. Like what was meant to cost like 3.something million, right? He brought a budget of over 7 million. And these are because people think that's how to make it. But that's not always true. I know one of the things that he didn't know was, for instance, one of my people here who is also an engineer who is selling a building site currently was considering giving him a contract after this one. Are you what I'm saying now? Yes. Because like nearly he's done with this one, I'll mention the next one to him in my site. But then when that happened, now he doesn't know this I'm saying now, but it's over. You can do it right and it will be big. Do you believe that? Right and big. Say amen. You don't have to manipulate things to travel abroad. You can travel correctly without stress. Yes. I've always believed that. But I kind of feel if you have to falsify figures to do anything, God did not send you. That's what I believe. If God is sending you, let him work it out himself. You know, when Samuel finished his ministry, he told the people, I don't know why God let me start with this. He told them, I've not stolen anybody's thing. I've not defrauded anybody. That's a testimony you should have. Like when I finished school, I told them, I've never come from anybody. That's a good testimony. I can tell this minister, I've never collected anybody's money unjustly. Never. I've never told you the Lord said when he did say, so I can give us money. Never. So your business, you have that kind of testimony too. Now, when people come and are saying your business has grown big, tell them, well, that's not the only testimony. The next testimony is that it is this big, yet we didn't have to manipulate anybody. I get what I'm saying now. We didn't have to falsify figures. We didn't have to sell expired products. You know, that it's happening everywhere. Where they even change expiry dates on products to make money. Even on drugs as a medication. It can be right and be big. And I'm trusting that God will use us, like us, I mean this church, to model it to many of you. That we can be doing it right and be doing it big without stress. Without stress. Has God been faithful? Sit, let me read two testimonies to you this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. I mean all the time. Do you believe that? Every day. Hallelujah. So I said I was going to read this. And one more. Say my personal testimony of deliverance. This is coming from Friday night. Why are you on Friday night? So I just want to share what God has done in my life. Because his work has been so real and powerful. Before this program, I came with hope for change even though I wasn't sure how that would happen. During the prayer session, that's on Friday night, when you spoke specifically about smoking, this person had a smoking addiction. I mean, India Hemp and the rest of them. Are you following me? Praise God. And you made a declaration right there. I felt it was meant for me. So I took it personally because it was part of my expectations, which I wrote boldly on my notes on the Sunday before. So when mom said we should make our expectations specific, you remember last Sunday? And I knew God was speaking directly to my heart. After I got home, that's on Friday night, something amazing happened to me. I started crying. Like really, really crying in a way I've never cried before. It wasn't just emotions. It felt like the Holy Spirit was moving through me, breaking the chains. He said, as I cried, I remembered all the advice my dad and my sister had given me. Those words which had stayed in my heart for a long time came back to me in that moment and gave me confidence. It was like God was using their words to confirm what he was doing in me. During this experience, I felt a release in my whole body. My mind became quiet. I felt both peaceful and light, like a heavy burden had been lifted. I can honestly say that today, all the urges are no longer there. They no longer have the same hold over me. Even the places or situations that used to trigger me now feel powerless. Isn't that a great testimony this morning? I am overwhelmed by God's presence, so grateful for his deliverance, and so thankful to you, sir. Thank you too for your teachings, which helped prepare my heart for this encounter. I wanted to share this testimony so that others can know that God moves deeply, even beyond the program sessions, and that his freedom is real. Do you know that God's freedom is real? He said, I really wish I could express how I felt on that day, but thank God for everything. Are you grateful to God this morning? Hallelujah. That's addictions broken. You know, I've mentioned that on Friday night. That's just one few ministers. The Lord said to me recently, he said, there's something your generation is doing wrong. He said, your generation, you people are ignoring the devil. Yes. It came like a big rebuke. He said, you people are ignoring the devil. He said, the Bible never said we should ignore the devil. It said we should resist the devil. So I was trying to find out that he said to me, many issues that are demonic, you people are giving counseling for it. I feel what I'm saying. And that's stayed with me. He said, many issues that are demonic, you people are counseling people and advising people and doing therapy. Not everything is therapy, sir. I'm not saying there's no place for therapy. But many issues are demonic. Many issues. That's why on that Friday night I began to pray. You know that one I was praying, I said, don't tell me about counseling. Remember I said that on Friday night, yes. And it happened to many more people. It has happened to some, there's another lady here, her testimony is this, and I'm talking about her because it's been a year plus now. Used to be heavy on drugs. Injects herself, all this, you know, I'm talking about drugs where they used to inject, you know those ones. The thing broke. Like, broke. Urge is gone. All the... I get what I'm saying now. Yes. Said it was... At the before, when she wanted to stop, if she doesn't take that for some time, her hand will be vibrating and shaking. The power of God can cut deeper than you think. It can arrest people's emotions. Look at how I understand it is this. I used to go for missions in villages, and I've observed something. Somebody can, you know, they can. Let me, if you don't understand Nigerian English, please forgive me. You know, they can jazz you, and you become a drunkard overnight. Are you aware? Like someone that has never taken any alcohol before, they can touch you. Somebody can do something, and the next day you become a full blown drunkard. Now I've dealt with an issue like that actually. The woman said, this man has never drank before. Just woke up one day and said, drink it like an animal every day. So I said, what have you been? He said, we've been shouting. I've been telling him to stop. I said, you see, that's the problem. You're using the wrong thing. So the Lord said to me, if that can happen by the hands of the devil, it means not every issue requires counseling. We can still lay hands and the hold of that thing will break. Are you following me now?
And I'm telling some of you, if you have any struggle with that, trust that the Lord will break it. He says, I'm saying this. This is church. I know. It's church. Oh. But you know, the thing about this ministry that I've always loved from day one is that there is no pretense here. Everything I'm saying, there's no pretense here. Now, there are people here that are heavy on, that struggling with drug addiction, that they tell me, they give me their report that I smoke today. That's a ministry where there is no pretense. Nobody's trying to form holy. You know what I'm saying? And that's how they can break out of it. And somebody listening to me saying, ah, you mean there are smokers in your ministry? There are the same people in your ministry, sir. they just don't tell you. Because if they tell you, they will never return to church. You use them to preach next Sunday. And that way, people don't eventually get help. I feel what I'm saying now. Yeah, people don't get help. So this is a powerful testimony this morning. Very powerful. And that thing will stay. It's something that was orchestrated by the power of God, so you can't break it. Nobody was there in the room. Just went home. That's why we'll finish meetings like this. I told you, whenever I come to meetings, God is not done in the meeting. That's actually the truth. He just starts it in the meeting. If you go, that's why if you go from that kind of meeting we went from last night, you don't go and begin to play too much. Why are you yesterday night? I was talking to mom this morning. There's something about the glory of God. I was saying, you are missed by the anointing, missed by the glory. And Lord began to speak to me. You see, when we come just by the anointing, if somebody is sick, we could say, every sickness be healed, and there is healing. That's what will happen. But when you let the glory of God fall, the testimonies will not just be healing. People, different things will be happening to different people at different times. So somebody can leave that meeting and addiction is gone. I get what I'm saying now. Somebody can leave that meeting and it's just different things at different times. So when we all tell our stories, you'll be wondering, is it the same meeting I attended that you attended? Let me read that one more thing for you. Amen. Now I'm reading this one because the person asked the question. I want to answer the question publicly. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. I hope I can get that. God is faithful. Hope I can get that. This phone is full of many things that the Lord has done. Okay, maybe I don't even know where that message entered again. But it's a testimony about someone that was living here last night. And on her way back, in fact, the previous day she ministered to someone, and on her way back yesterday, she still ministered to another person. Are you getting the point? And he said she was trying to minister. He was in a bus. They were sitting. The Holy Ghost led her, and I told you to respond to promptings of the Spirit, right? So she was trying to minister to this person, and the girl said, "I don't have time." And then she asked the lady, "What about your eyes? What's wrong with your eyes?" The lady said, "Nothing. My eye is fine." So she left the person. After some time, she typed something on her phone. And the lady typed something and showed her. I was like, "Do you know where I can get medication for glaucoma?" Eventually, the father has been battling with that. And so she had to minister to that family last night. If I was so sure that the father told her, "If I get healed of this, I'm going to buy you a car." It tells them like that. So when I read it, I say, "Keep your promise." Oh. Because I know one woman that told me. I'm telling you, real life, so many years ago, she had serious. She was, you know, that woman I told you, she was pregnant, forgetting to. 12 months and couldn't give birth. And they didn't have money for cesarean station and all of that. So they were just waiting for labor to come. I led her on her in a meeting. She went into labor right there. It took her to the hospital. Real life, oh, not movie. But before that day, she told me, she said, "If God does this for me, I will give you a goat." So I'm here to announce you that I've not gotten my... I'm still waiting for my goods till now. Glory to God. But God is faithful. That people can go from here, and as you go back, that's what I want to see. Dealing with cases. Say, I'm anointed. Normally, this morning in the meeting, I always charge you, right? But I'm not doing that this morning because I've been charging you since we started. So I'll just bless you. Praise God. So we're still looking at signs. There are three things the Lord said He will do for us. Do you remember? Number one, He will give us signs and wonders. Number two, He will use us for signs and wonders. Number three, He will make us signs and wonders. And all of that is happening already. So, I was looking at the nation of Israel. I was looking at Moses and Israel. You notice I was showing you that Moses was one man that really flowed mightily in mighty miracles, signs, wonders, and all of that. But then I also observed that most of those miracles, if not all of them, were worked for Israel as a nation. So I began to check my Bible to find out, why did God choose Israel for such miracles? Why was Israel the recipients of all those signs? Because what I want to teach you this morning is how you can be a recipient of signs and wonders. How that in your own life, miracles will keep happening. And you will see why. Why did God choose Israel for that kind of thing? Why not Assyria? Why not Ethiopia? Why not Egypt? Why was it Israel that experienced the dividing of the Red Sea? Or was it Israel that, you know, manna fell for? Or was it Israel that experienced water coming from the rock? Why did all those things happen only for that nation? What was special about that nation? Now somebody could say, well, that's a nation through which Jesus will come. Well, that is true too. But again, why is it that nation that Jesus will come from? Why not Nigeria? I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'm just asking a question. You say, we're not existing then. Okay, why not Moab? Why not Edom? I feel I'm sharing with you. So I was trying to find out why. Because one of the things I want to do for you before you go this morning is that I want you to go expecting that the best of things will happen for you. And that the best of things will happen to you. How many of you are expecting those things this morning? You should go. And that's why I live my life. I put it on Facebook sometime, on WhatsApp sometime ago. I said I wake up every day expecting a miracle. Remember I said that? That's how I put it. I expect the best of things. There are many Christians who live life without expecting good things to happen to them. They are surprised when good things happen to them. They are surprised when people dash them money. They are shocked. Ah, me? Is it me? They are surprised. But you know, I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised if good things happen to me. Do you know if I stay for some days, I do not see alert on my phone. I say, ah, God, what is happening? I wake up with expecting an alert every day. Yes. Are you expecting an alert? For real. And people will always wonder, why do you guys think it's only people that God will do this thing for? Why not other people? I'm going to show you why in the Bible. Well, there was a reason it was Israel that was chosen. Because I've explained to you, prior to this time, to the time Moses came, they were just in Egypt. They've been in Egypt for 400 years. They were not even serving God. There was no prophet. There was no priest. There was no temple. Are you know what I'm talking about? So they weren't serving God, as it were. So it's not like they were walking with God. They were very holy. They were living their best life. And God now said, oh, because of that, I'm going to choose you. That wasn't the reason. It will look like it is actually. It will look like a sovereign choice of God. But there is something that gave birth to that. And it's not hard to see. It's pretty clear in the Bible. So God chose them because He had His purpose. So let me show you. Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. Exodus 2 verse 23. Why does God choose a people to treat them specially? Why does He choose a people to be fair to them? For them to experience the best of things. Exodus 2:23. And it came to pass in process of time. That's when, after Israel had suffered for a long time. And that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came upon to God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For thou, that's, this is Moses talking to them. For thou art an holy people. Holy here doesn't mean they are living holy. Holy means special. I pull in point. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be special, to be a special people unto him. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So God said, God chose you to be special to him. But why was that? Let's continue. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any people. For you are the fewest of all people. So I was telling you, it wasn't because of any physicality. It wasn't because you guys are big or you are small. It was nothing about number. Now, see the next verse. Let's read together. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and from the hand of Pharaoh. So why did God choose Israel? Because there was a covenant he had with Abraham. That was all. There was an agreement, a covenant that God entered with Abraham. And because of that promise he made to Abraham, when Israel was in, that's why you find that no matter how bad Israel went, God always came through for them. And you will find the phrase that will follow, because God remembered his covenant with Abraham. God is a covenant-keeping God. And he entered the covenant with Abraham. So, by the time the Israelites, now hear this, we are in Egypt. They had spent 400 years plus in Egypt. Right? Add that 400 years to the number of years Jacob lived and the number of years Isaac lived, you find out that from the time God made that covenant with Abraham to the time he came for them was over 600 years. I get what I'm calculating now. Yet, God remembered that he entered an agreement with these guys. In fact, let me say this. Even the Israelites themselves were not aware of the covenant at the time. He said, well, how do you know? There was no teacher. They had no priest. They had nothing. A few might have been aware, but it wasn't a popular thing. But God remembered. So God did not, and this is very important, God did not choose Israel specially because they were living right. Now, I am not against living right. I want you to hear me this morning. Because if you don't understand what I'm saying, many of you, the devil will smartly disqualify you from the good things that God has for you. Smartly. And he's doing that to many Christians all over the place. There are many Christians that don't expect their prayers to be answered. They don't expect to get healed. They don't expect to be favored specially. The kind of thing that if one person will be blessed out of 10 people, it cannot be them. I don't think like that. If one person will get out of 100 people, I believe it should be me. No, it's not just what I say. I'm telling you how I think. And people always say it and they feel like, what's wrong with you? Why do you think you're special? It's not about feeling. It's not about being special. Israel was a preferred nation. Of all the nations on the earth, they were preferred. Are you following me? They were preferred. Think about that. Of all the nations, you go to war against them, you will lose. And God said, it is not because they were big. God kept reminding them, it is because there is a covenant with Abraham. So what did God remember for him that made him decide to save Israel? He remembered the covenant he had with Abraham. That covenant was the reason they were preferred. That covenant was why they enjoyed healing.
That covenant was why they enjoyed exemption. You know, they were exempted. If you go to Egypt to find out something could be happening here, and in their own side, they were exempted. Divine exemption. They were not perfect. If you check throughout their journey in the wilderness, they kept murmuring. They kept murmuring. For those guys, we are an interesting nation. But if God wants to go too far, God, I remember the covenant I have with Abraham. So that covenant, this is very serious, kept pulling them to the ravines. So all those mighty workings they enjoyed, God wasn't looking at them. God was looking at an agreement he made with a man. So it wasn't about Israel, it was about one man. Are you guys following me at all this morning? It wasn't about Israel. It wasn't about the nation of Israel at all. If it had to be for them, God would have, even Moses would abandon them. But God went all the way to pick a man called Moses, to anoint the man called Moses, to send the man called Moses, because he was thinking, I entered an agreement with Abraham, and I must keep it. Are you following me this morning at all? So everyone from the lineage of Abraham, of course, Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob. Because that covenant, the man that continued was Isaac and then Jacob. Right? Did you get what I said? Ishmael didn't continue in that covenant. Right? But all of them in that lineage became recipients of signs and wonders, even though they were not always perfect. Are you following me, friends? Even with their imperfection, they enjoyed mighty signs. And it is very important this morning that we're looking at it. Because I tell you, many of you live lives not expecting the best of things. If one person is going to get the job, it has to be you. I'm not making you feel good. I'm going to show you from the word of God today. That's how the average Israelite thinks. Do you know there is a book? Of course, there are books I've been reading about this, and I'm telling you. Called, if you see all this book called Breaking the Jewish Code, all these Jewish code books, because they sat down and studied Israel as a nation, they found that even till now, those people are different. If you get to the US, if you get to the 1% of the 1%, the American Jews have a greater percentage. The best doctors in the US, American Jews have a greater percentage. They expect that their own has to be different. You know why? There's a covenant God has with Abraham that they always refer to. There are many Christians that don't expect the best. And that's why I'm going to challenge you this morning. There are people that are settled. 2026 is coming. Don't settle. This is the confidence I have. When people come to this church and they say, I'm broke, I say, well, come first. You'll be rich. Now, do we preach prosperity every Sunday? No. I get the point. But I know that by the time I teach you rights and you understand your covenant rights, things will just change. So look at that. So everywhere in that covenant enjoyed exemption, enjoyed healings, enjoyed prosperity, enjoyed abundance, enjoyed wealth, enjoyed healing from diseases. And one of the words God is bringing very strong in my spirit this morning is exemption. And you will enjoy that. Expect that even if your locality, there is an invasion of insecurity, you will be exempted. Amen. Are you expecting that now? I expect that. I expect it, and I'm going to show you why. Well, that was the case of Israel. They were kept safe. The night that death invaded the land of Egypt, death avoided their houses. You know what that tells you? There are not many things on earth like coincidences. Death avoided. Do you know? if an Egyptian had run into the house of an Israelite that night, he would be kept safe. Well, let's leave that matter. And so everybody in that covenant enjoyed some sort of exemption. Now let's see something. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you still here? Your voice is lower than it should be. Are you still here? Are you in Galatians 3 verse 13? Let's read together, everybody, if you find it. Are you there now? Let's go together. In fact, stop. Let me read it for you with NLT so that you understand where I'm going to. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Jesus Christ, now listen. Through Jesus Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles, that is us, with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. So, Paul is saying that same covenant that the Israelites were under, that same blessing, that same promise he made to Abraham, that exempted them and gave them all of those things, that through Christ, God has brought all of us under that same covenant. Let me read it again. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Now, see verse 15. Dear brothers and sisters, here is an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. Notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child, and that of course means Christ. So God gave the promise to Abraham and who? Who is that child? Is it Isaac? Is it Isaac? Let me read that again. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, and notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child, and that of course means Christ. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. So he's telling us that the law of Moses did not cancel the agreement of Abraham. The covenant of Moses, that old covenant, did not cancel the covenant God had with Abraham. That covenant with Abraham is older and stronger than the law. Now, follow this. God will be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it will not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. So it tells you that this covenant that Abraham received, Israel was not favored because of the law of Moses. They were not favored because of the covenant of Moses. They were covered because of a promise God made to Abraham. That is why, now hear this, that is why even when they broke the law, they were still treated specially. Because the covenant God had with Abraham superseded what God had with Moses. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because the covenant with Abraham, I wish I had time to look at that this morning, was an unconditional covenant. The covenant with Moses was conditional. Let me tell you the story. If you have time, go and look at Genesis 17. On that day, God told Abraham to bring animals and all of that, and to kill them. Do you remember that story? And to divide them into two. How do you cut covenant in those days? If I want to enter, now somebody should come, maybe one of you should come. If I want to enter a covenant with him, both of us, we are going to kill the animal and divide it into two. Keep one side here, keep the other side here. I get to the point. Then he's going to stand here, and I'm going to stand here. And then, when it is time, I'm going to walk through this place, making my own promise. Maybe the covenant is, what covenant now? Maybe he's the king of his village. And I'm telling you how it happened. The village had, they were rich with what farm produce? Yam. Which one is oil? Yam. They are rich with yam. So, and then me, my own village, we are rich in security. So we want to enter an agreement that you supply us yam for free. And we protect your people. Are you following this? So we have to agree that nobody should break this promise. So once we start, as I'm passing, I'm making my own promise that if I break this promise, may I and my people be like these animals, these dead bodies that are scattered here. When I complete my own, he's going to pass and do his own. So in Genesis 17, Abraham killed those animals and scattered them. And God pronounced his covenant. But when it was Abraham's turn, a deep sleep came upon Abraham, and Abraham slept. See, Abraham had no chance to make any promise. That's why the covenant is referred to as a promise, not a covenant. Because if it's covenant, it would have been too big. But it's a promise God made. Are you what I'm saying now? So he was telling Abraham to promise, we'll do well, we'll do the right thing. He slept. So there was no chance for him to promise God. To say, if we break it, kill us. If we break it, somersault us. If we break, he slept. So only God. In fact, go back to us. Let me show you that scripture. Let me just show you a verse from it. You can go back. Let me show you a verse from there. So that you understand what I just shared with you now. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis 17 also, I'm trying to be sure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Either Genesis 7, 15 or 14, one of them. But it's somewhere in Genesis. If you see it, you let me know. Huh? 17, Abby? 15. 17. Okay. I think people that say 15. Could they be right? Yes, 15 is right. So let's look at that. Genesis 15. From verse 9. The Lord told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abraham presented all this to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the half side by side. This is what I just explained to you now. And laid the half side by side. He did not, however, cut the best in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcass, but Abraham chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abraham, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come out with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and buried at a ripe old age. After 4 generations, your descendants will return to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So instead of Abraham passing through, he saw two things. Number one, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. So God passed through the covenant, those animals. Abraham never had to. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said that day, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt and down and all of that. So where in this chapter did Abraham promise God anything? So can we call that a covenant? So it's a promise. Are you following me? So there was no condition. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That is the promise they were under. That Bible says the Lord remembered. Because if Abraham had made a promise, it would have been conditional. Are you following me? Now the Bible is telling us that this same promise God made to Abraham, that through Jesus, we have come under that same promise. What it means is that the kind of exemptions they enjoyed in Egypt, in Israel, you should expect the same thing in your life. That's why if I read the Bible and see all those miracles that happened to Israel, I'm expecting them to happen to me. You say, why? Because through Jesus, I've come under the same agreement. And some of you have to start thinking like this. That's why I expect that you are going to be special. You are special actually. Not by anything, but by reason of an agreement. So look at, let's go back to Galatians 3 while we're looking at that. Galatians 3, where did we stop? I'm reading with NLT for a reason, so I can be very clear to you. 3 verse 18. It says, God gave it Abraham as a promise. Let's go to verse 26. Now watch this, verse 26. Are you there? He said, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Christ. Let's see 29 together. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. God's promises to Abraham now belongs to you. Are you getting it this morning? So God exempted Israel because of Abraham's promise. Right now, we are now under that same promise he made to Abraham. So shouldn't you expect exemptions? Shouldn't you expect that if others are dying there, you're going to be kept safe? So if we say, why do you guys think you are special? We are really special. And that's not because you are claiming to be holy or claiming to be perfect, but because you are under a promise, under a covenant. This was why Israel could not lose battles. Even when they sin against the Lord and the devil enters their midst and begins to mess things up, it will not be long. They will come out again. Because there is something, a promise that was made. And God is a covenant keeping God. You know the challenge is this. I hear people that preach ancestral curses. Ancestral curses. Do you believe in that? Is there an ancestral curse? That's why you're saying it's confident. Do you have an ancestral curse? But look at where I'm going. Of course, there's an ancestral curse. But then, it's not something you pay attention to. Because a lot of people that believe they are under ancestral curses, the first problem is that they believe they're under it. And I can prove it to them. If not that you believe they're under it, how come you've prayed to break that in for more than 50 times? Somehow you believe God doesn't hear your prayer. Every day, every curse I break, when will it break? When will you finally believe that it has broken? Sorry for another day. But people that preach ancestral curses, they always preach from Exodus, where the Bible said that I will remember the sins of the fathers upon the children. Remember that? To the third and... But they don't complete that chapter verse. He said he will also remember... Do you remember that? What verse is that? Let's even see the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. God is a covenant-keeping God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What verse is that? Exodus 20. I didn't plan to read all of this. So that's why I'm asking what verse is that. Yes. Verse 5. Let's read verse 5 together, everybody. Exodus 20, verse 5. Open your Bible. Konimoro Bible. Me pay Bible again now. Are you there now? Let's read together, everybody. I'm a jealous God. So he said he will lay the sins of the father upon the third and what? The third and fourth generation. That's four generations. Let me even tell you what that means. If you go by this verse to preach ancestral curse, it means if it is your great grandfather, it should have ended with you. I grew up saying it is third and fourth generation. Finish. But you believe that the sins of your four ancestors are pursuing you. But look at where it gets interesting. Let's read again. Let's continue. I will show mercy. So how many generations of the righteous will be blessed? 1,000 generations. What it means is that what God started with Abraham will last for 1,000 generations. And that's even figure of speech. It means forever and ever. So I get the point. It means there is something stronger you are under. That's the promise of Abraham. Even in these 10 commandments, you are seeing that God is merciful. Like, even in the Old Testament. Because the sins of the father is to third and fourth generation. In fact, later in Ezekiel, Ezekiel prophesied and said, that thing we no longer hold. He said, from now, the soul that sinned shall die. He said, no longer shall you hear that the father sinned and children suffered for it. He said, from now, do you understand the point? But what God did with Abraham still stands to a thousand generation. Let me even tell you further what it means. It means that because I'm serving the Lord now, my generation forever are secured. I believe this and I'm telling you with all my heart. And you better believe it. That's why it's good. It's good that, you see, as a believer, were you here during 10 days of life? When I taught you on the God life. I believe that the life of God affects generations. I believe it. So, as looking at me now, as a man of God, my children, they are covered. Totally covered. Just by being my children. Now, you are looking at me, you are fighting it. But you believe that your forefather's sins are pursuing you. Yeah, I'm now saying that the children that will be their forefather are covered. You are looking at me somehow. But you believe you have ancestral cause. Me, I'm saying my children have ancestral blessing. You know, we're going to deal with our mind. So all we stop is the third and fourth generation. We forget the thousand generation, of which Abraham is part of it. So the thing God entered with Abraham is still working till now. So we will be divinely exempted. We'll be divinely protected. We will enjoy. That's why I can tell you, people that have this revelation I'm sharing with you, don't stand in competition with them. They will beat you to it. Somebody like me. Yeah, don't fight for anything with me. I'll beat you to it. Except it's not covered in the covenant of Abraham. Do you know that that Abrahamic covenant is actually the new covenant? Are you aware? That's why we say that the new covenant is older than the old covenant. Because God started it with Abraham. So the covenant we are under, the Bible says in Hebrews 8 verse 7, that covenant has better promises. Better promises. Better promises. Hebrews 8 verse 6, look at that. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Are you learning something this morning? Because I wanted to leave this place, even as I've taught you throughout this weekend to walk signs and wonders, I also wanted to leave this place expecting that good things will be happening to you. Now you write your exams and come out as the best. I always tell my friends, that my sons and all of that are working companies, that I expect you to always be the best staff every month. The standout staff. I believe that. And I'm always up in my head. Most of my sons said, "Sir, I want the best staff." So I said, "You win next month too. Best staff, best staff, best staff, staff of the month, staff of the month." That's what it should be. But they say, why is everything special with you? He said, it's not my, I'm under a certain promise. And it's lasting for a thousand generations. He says, why does it happen for every Christian? Not every Christian is aware. Not every Christian is expecting it. Satan keeps making believers feel they don't deserve the best of things. You should be expecting a healing. If there is sickness in your body, expect that you come out without pain. If there is challenge in your family, expect that you the poverty will end with you. Expect that you will be so rich that you will lend to nations. Yes, expect those things. Like, there is a promise. If you read that covenant God had with Abraham, if you see what he worked out for the nation of Israel, it was still that, even when they were not fully aware of it, it was working. So much so that Pharaoh will say, if they give birth to male children, because they were multiplying, because that covenant has fertility inside. That part of our covenant is that there shall be no barren woman in the land. So they were multiplying. Pharaoh said, these guys are getting big. So he even sent, say, if they give birth to male children, kill. God still went among the Egyptians and raised two people who made sure they were preserved. Now I'm talking about such promise that kept them safe. That's why anybody here, I've said it before, that is trusting God for a baby, by next day, we will dedicate
that baby.
If a woman
just starts going to husband this month,
like tomorrow,
or today,
ovulation,
you are taking him
this week. I'm telling you. I believe this. I'm telling you with all my heart. There is a covenant we enjoy. The Israelites gave birth like. So the king of Egypt, the way these people are born in. I don't blame him. Do you know history tells us that when they were leaving Egypt, they were close to 3 million. They were not up to 100 and entered Egypt. They left up to 3 million people. Now, even if you are the king of Egypt, you should be afraid. Because they will just grow so big one day and fight you people. And because they were slaves in the land, they were getting bigger than the land. Next stage is for better things. I feel what I'm talking about. Expect big things, Expect big things. And I'm telling you, not just for now, keep it. That's how I live my life. I expect that things will be different with me. I always expect that. I expect it intuitively. So once you are going for something, I'll say, let's go. I'm going to get it. We're going to get it. I always believe that. There is nothing I've ever wanted that we didn't get. Even if there are four people fighting for it. And that's not about being competitive. It's about carrying the right mindset. Say amen. So let me show you some things. Let me just read some things, some promises God made to Moses and the Israelites, still banking on that covenant that he had with Abraham. Leviticus chapter 26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. From verse 1, or maybe let's jump to verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops. The trees of the field will produce their fruits. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest. Your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. He said, I will give you peace in the land. You will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. He said, in fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100. 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath your sword. He said, I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile, multiplying your people. I will fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new harvest. He said, I will walk among you. He said, I will be your God. You will be my people. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so you no longer be their slaves. I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck, so you can walk with your head held high. That's our new posture now. We are walking with our head held. Don't slouch. Don't walk like this. Stop looking down. Stand tall. Don't you ever say stand tall, stand tall, stand tall. But I believe all this slouch is a sign of low self-esteem. Good evening, sir. Stand tall. Stand with your head held. Better promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read one more for you. Deuteronomy 28. Somebody's going to say, but the Bible said in this covenant, if you obey, that's actually what the Bible said. But we've obeyed. When we put our faith in Christ Jesus, we enter that obedience. So if you obey the Lord your God and all of that. Now, let's start from verse 3. Verse 2 said, you will experience all these blessings. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. He said, your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Do you see that this blessing affected their animals? Now think about that. Even animals. Because they are owned. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's rubbed off on them. Are you following me, friends? your children and your cross
will be blessed.
Verse 5 said, your fruit basket and bread box will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. That's why I don't believe in all this. You don't hear me praying all this die by fire prayer. I don't do that. But if you come for me, you will see what you're looking for. You say, what do you mean by that? Saul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Selah. You see, it is hard. In other words, if you keep going this way, you are making life hard for yourself. Selah. So, back to the Bible. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do, and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord will bless you in the land He's giving you. He said, if you obey the command of the Lord your God and walk His ways, the Lord will establish you as His holy people. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land that He swore your ancestors to give you. Blessing with many children. Somebody say many children. How many children are many? As many as you want. So you will not want two children and you have one. You will not want five and you have four. But you can have five and you want six. You can want five and you have six. That one is on you. I'm just saying. He will bless you with many children, numerous livestock, abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from His rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God I'm giving you today, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. How many of you believe these things? This is why the Israelite enters your camp. He expects to be the head of the company. You wonder why? Because the Bible told him that God told him that he always be the top. So when an Israelite enters your company, he's dreaming of when he's going to be. I'm telling you, that's all the reason. They're not going to cut corners. They're not going to fight. They're not going to do anything. But they will put in the work. They will engage the covenant. They will cut until they rise to that place. Guys, research what I'm showing you. The 1% of the 1% in any field in the world are donated by Jews.
Scientists, doctors,
is that mindset? Do you know that
Jews,
every morning, their parents
start to speak to them every day?
Yes.
Yes.
I have a lot of Jews. That was the time I bought a couple of them. Every morning, for instance, that prayer I used to pray over you, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. They prayed over their children every blessed morning before they leave the house. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His shine upon you. So that is, they keep feeding them. So they're expecting to be better than you. You understand the point? They're expecting differently. They're expecting differently. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The blessing is here. Let me read one last one for you. Deuteronomy 7. Verse 12. Look at that. If you listen to these regulations and carefully obey them, the Lord will keep His covenant of fellowship with you as He has promised with an oath to your ancestors. So, even though Moses was given a covenant as in instructions, he still kept referring to the promise God made to Abraham. Because actually, the blessings He was proclaiming upon them were the same blessings contained in that Abrahamic covenant. That's why every time He gives them instruction, He will say, if you obey them, the Lord will keep what He promised your ancestors. So as we have obeyed, by our obedience is believing in Christ, we've come under that lineage. These things are now ours. So let me read them to you. Verse 13. Hallelujah. He will love and bless you, and will give you many children. He will give facility to your land and your animals. Where you arrive in the land is what to give to your ancestors. You will have large harvests of grain, new wine, and olive oil. Great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or your women will be childless. Yes, none of them will be childless. and all your livestock will bear their young. And the Lord will protect you from all sicknesses. He will not let you suffer the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but your enemies will suffer them. People say, is God inflicting people with sickness? I've explained that many times to you. There are zones. Right? The Israelites were in Goshen. That kept them safe. Under the atmosphere, the secret place of the Most High, they are kept safe. Outside that place, the world is an evil world. God doesn't have to give anybody sickness. The world is already an evil world with many sicknesses. I feel I'm talking about. Expect the best. And I tell you how to do it very simply. Affirm these things you are reading. How do you affirm them? Say them to yourself. That I'm enjoying the best. I'm expecting the best. I'm expecting in tens of millions. I'm expecting say it over your kids. I'm expecting. Before you get married, I'm expecting to have 5 children or 8 children. As you wish. If you want to marry next year, begin to say it. By next year, by the way, next year, I'll be here with my wife. Yeah, for real. And when you begin to say those things, one of the things the Lord will do for you, He will begin to sort out the complications. But I may not have been married, but it's complicated. Some of you now, I'm talking to you. You'd have been married, but it's complicated. I don't want to go further. But may I know what I'm saying? Should I go deeper? Yeah, but God still has complications. Yes, actually. It can be complicated. Believe God for the best. Like you want to marry now, believe God for the best wife. Don't join us people on Facebook saying, to find a good woman now is by connection. You are connected. Because the first problem is, where are they finding from? You go to the streets and pick one animal. What are you expecting? You go to the street and pick somebody. And you want to change the person. Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit doesn't change people like that. See, even people that are picked from church still have their issues to deal with. Now think of you. That now pick from just see anybody anywhere. You find somebody from the club and you want her to become Mary Magdalene. How does it happen? So all this, I don't like church girls. You are in error. You should love church girls. The chances are your wife is in this meeting now. That's actually the 95% of the truth. The other 5% is for people who are not very committed yet. That's what it means. Because you cannot order. God does not do, or life doesn't do what you order from what you got. What you order is what you will get. I'm telling you the truth. So you go to the street and pick someone, you will get what you ordered. Can't you see the wife I picked? If he reach your turn, if he reach your turn, go and pick the people fashioned against you. You look at the support throughout this program, throughout the building process. You know. Yes, 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 yes. I appreciate my wife. Yes. My wife was here throughout. She was even carrying sand. Are you aware? Are you shocked? Yes. She was carrying sand, carrying stone. Yes. Carrying water. Yes, yeah. Now, when you want to marry, look for those ones that will not come near your business. That will not touch whatever you do. That are not interested in your life. Pick them. And expect that you will change them. You will succeed. Maybe in your 70s. you waste the better part of your life doing counseling on your wife. I think after, you know, this young time, this is when you enjoy your wife. Before menopause, come calling. This is the time. You guys go out, hang out, have fun. Every time I say, quarrel. Better look well, though. Some of you need to go home and call that, not go from here, send that test, because I say, get out of my life. And if I leave it with the girl at home, left her at home, send her text, if I come back. Under that gallon, keep my key. God gives us the best. Are you expecting the best? Hallelujah. He gives us the best. And you will have the best. Expect the best. Women, expect the best. What did they say? Marriage, divorce rate is high. Expect the best. Your husband will not beat you. Expect the best. He said his wife will not beat him. But he reached to pray sometimes. So. But for real, people marry problem in marriage. So if you saw that case in Enugu recently, where a woman, I know it's in Enugu, so if it's related to you, sorry. Where a woman was led by the devil and took the husband's name, convinced the two children, the two girls, and they went to the police and to go and say that the husband was molesting those children. Did you see the news? In this Enugu. And the man was about to go down because of it. And something touched the children. Children began to say the truth. Mommy told us to say it. Now, that is somebody's marriage. So, you notice, to even start with, and I was telling mom something this morning, you're already dating someone. What people are doing, you love each other. The person doesn't come to church. Even people that used to come to church, they still have problem. Now, your own wife, you want to marry, does not show up in church. And you cannot believe that he will be good. So what is, you know, people say we don't need religion in this. Christian is not a religion, but let's talk about religion. Religion is the voice of morality in the society. That's the voice. There are many things you would have done even though you come to church. Some of us know the bad things we plan to do. You now come to church and they now preach and say, yeah. So if Nigeria shuts down the church, which cannot happen, they will see the real corruption. You know, people are carrying gun and robbing. You think who cannot rob? Everybody can. It's just that there is something that's speaking to us to calm down. So when there is no longer, when there is no longer voice of morality on, you will now say all of us have what you know. We know. We'll go. You pull your gun, I pull my gun. Say, give me your own. I give you my own. But thank God for the church. For real, thank God for the church. For when I see people commit crime, I feel, I don't understand them. You don't have monopoly of violence. There is a little madness in everybody. Just don't wake it up. It's only it's the word of God that keeps suppressing that thing. So you now marry someone who doesn't go to church at all. What speaks to that person's head? What calms him down? Yeah. No, this year was a lot of case about marriage. Early January, somewhere around Suka village, a village in Suka, somebody sat down, a man sat down, started sharpening his knife all night to kill the wife. Did you see that? And saw the woman and aimed for the head, missed the head, cut off her hand. Realized. He spent all night. I'm not joking. Just missed the head. Say, chai. And to tell you the force, the hand went off. Did you see the news on Facebook? Now you saw it on Facebook. I know the matter has been close by. Now people they marry. See, if you like, if I tell you pray for 3 months, say it's too much. Beg me. They say 3 months. Can I make it 6 months or 8? Not because we are afraid anyway. But right, it's good to be sure, and it's good that you are getting into someone that is also growing. Well, my point is this: everybody has a tendency of evil, apart from the fact that the word of God is being preached to him regularly. That's the only thing that keeps everybody safe and sane. That's why even every pastors must also learn God's word for themselves. That's why I also have a pastor. Because if you're a pastor, you stop learning God's word for yourself, but you're just preaching to others, you have a tendency of evil. If you're not hearing God's word, you commit evil. I get the point. Because the things you are preaching, now I'm not feeding, I'm feeding you. I also have to go home and get fed. If I stop feeding as a pastor, it's a matter of time, you see a lot of dangerous vices that will begin to show. I get what I'm talking about. Yes. Say, I'm a Christian. See, I'm a believer. And I enjoy the promise of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham. You know, the first of that blessing of Abraham, for instance, is the Holy Spirit. The giving of the Holy Spirit. And I tell people, when God gave us the Holy Ghost, he gave us everything. Because in that Holy Ghost, you have gift of healing. In that Holy Ghost, you have divine leading. You know what I'm talking about? In that, so when he gave us the Holy Ghost, he started both spiritual and physical life, everything. Everything. He started direction for us when he gave us the Holy Ghost. He started provision for us. Because how does God provide for us? I told you yesterday, it's very simple way God provides. What Mary told those guys, whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you walk in obedience to God's word, he will provide for you. Especially in the area of finances. That's why, for instance, giving is obeying God's word. Working hard is obeying God's word. Diligence is obeying God's word. I feel what I'm saying now. Obedience to God's word. And then all the tiny instructions will be giving you here and there. He said, go and do this. Invest in this. Listen to God in 2026. Listen to God in your finances in 2026. Listen to God. Listen to God. I wrote that boldly in my notes last month. The secret of financial provision. God told me about that. He said, whatever he asks you to do, do it. I read that, but the Lord said, this is it. Because that was the first financial miracle, the first miracle of provision that Jesus worked. And the secret was there. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. How did he multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Tell the people to sit down. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you walk in obedience to his word, you will prosper. Are you expecting good things? So if there is a court case you have and you are being marginalized, maybe you don't have money to get the best of lawyers, expect the best. This will turn in your favor. We've seen that happen here a lot. So I'm challenging you to leave this meeting as you are doing ministry and all of that with a consciousness of the best things will come to us. I used to tell people that my son is a genius. And he's actually a genius. Everything you know about genius children, my child used to do it. And all my children will be like that. Now when I talk, you don't talk. I said, all my children will be like that. You're not looking at me. Now, I've been telling from time I get back to him. I say that's actually what the Bible explained in Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature. So I carry him and say, you are growing in wisdom, stature. So why are you expecting that you're the one that will give birth to the best of children? Who am I again? Abraham's seed. So I don't expect my kid to be the last in the class. I don't even expect it to be second. I said it to be first. So you put your own child somewhere but my own. I used to expect those things. Why, as he begins to grow, whatever field they choose, maybe music or tech or what have you, they will have to be the best. So if my child is going to be a football player, he has to be Lionel Messi. That's the kind of thing I'm trying to say. Call your own goat when the time comes. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I expect those things. I want to close by saying, please stop expecting that things are just coincidences. We don't know who will make it now. We don't know who will be best. It's only God that knows. Stop thinking like that. Stop that thing. I know. God knows. Angels, even demons know that I cannot be small. All of us are aware. So it's not a question of God knows. If you end up small in life, now you do yourself. That's why the next year, you've got to push yourself. As you acknowledge the covenant, push yourself. I'm meant to be the head. Because you are meant to be the head, you are going for the best of things. For the best of things. Get more trainees. Get more certifications. Go for the best of things. I get to the point. When in your own field, decide to be different. I don't know why you should be at the lowest part of the ladder. That's why it's hard for them to permit you to come for a program. That's why. Because you are the lowest part of the ladder. But if God increases you, where your say will now matter. I get what I'm talking about. Trust God, trust God, trust. Are you trusting the Lord here? Trust God to be the best. Expect the best. I get to the point. Expect the best family, the best kind of jobs. And not just expect it to your head. Be saying it to yourself. Be praying it. Be declaring it. The best comes to us. The best comes to us. If I start a business, I expect that business should do better. I'm not competing, but it's going to do well. Because there is something else I can. Do you know? This is how people who are under this covenant think. And those of you that are in straight. Do you want that? Okay, let me. You know, I'm talking about the Jews. You've not thought about it. Who is Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Jews. Do you know what they became in Babylon? You see, they became prophets. They became governor. Governor Daniel became a president. Because the king divided the land into three. There were presidents of those three sections. Daniel was president. Daniel was made in charge of all the presidents. Now, a foreigner. Just like you now in Ghana. Rising to become a leader. A president. It's an unthinkable thing. But that's how the Jews think. Joseph went to Egypt and rose to become prime, second in command, in a strange country. So who says you can't go to a strange country and have your portion in that place? But every time we read this, we don't actually think. It's just like somebody coming from, maybe somebody located from which country now? Maybe Ethiopia, Tanzania, Kenya, and comes to Nigeria. And becomes governor of Enugu State. And everybody accepted it. They were even happy. And they gathered the governors in the state. They divided Nigeria into three. And put each person in charge. Put one president in charge of all the. And they gave him one. And now made him to be the leader of all the council of presidents. A foreigner. I feel what I'm saying now. A foreigner. So I don't have, I'm not being stupid by expecting that things will be different with me. I'm not being stupid. I'm just looking at patterns in the Bible and expecting it for me. So I might challenge you to be greedy. The word is not greed. The word is excellence. I feel what I'm saying. It's not greed. It's what? Let me put it to you in a very simple way so you don't forget. What's your profession? What's your profession? Interior decorator. You have to be the interior decorator. You know, there are interior decorators, and there is. If you are the pharmacist, you have to be D. What I mean, that's excellence. So there might be many bakers, but you want to be the baker. So much so that if they are having an event in the government house and they have to bake cake, they will come for the baker. He said, please overrate yourself in this church. That's how we got here. I told him when God called me, I told him I was going to be the pastor. When God called me, I told him, I didn't want to pastor. That's the truth. Okay, sorry. I wanted to pastor, but I didn't want to start a church. I wanted to pastor on that denomination I liked so much. But God, I said, well, I'm not just going to go. I'm not going to go if I'm just going to be one of those people. If I carry this mic and minister, if 10 pastors minister and I minister and they will not know that there is one pastor that came, I'm not going to do. Now that is, I don't know that the prayer was right or wrong, but I'm telling you what I told God. I said, I'm not going to do. If all of us preach and I preach and they will not say there's something about that guy, I'm not going to preach. So you have to distinguish me by your anointing if I'm going to go. Whether the prayer was right or wrong, he said yes to me. Do you understand the point? So, even as you are growing, I'm expecting that we'll be a different church. Are you getting me? Big in number, big in results. Yet very decent and pure. So, think like that. Tell God, if I'm going to be a doctor, I'll be the doctor. The standout doctor. The one that will excel. If I'm going to be the hospital, I have to have the hospital. That when the case is tough, they will refer you to that hospital. The blessing of God is upon you. The blessing of healing is upon you. Prosperity is upon you. Abundance is upon you. Increase is upon you. Exemption is upon you. In the name of Jesus. Abundance has become your reality. Supplies has become your reality. Excellence has become your reality. You are coming out the best. What has been difficult will now become easy. Your 2026 is a blessed year. It's a blessed year. It's a blessed year. It's a blessed year. In the name of Jesus. It shall be known for you as a year of excellence. A year of excellence. A year of excellence. Excellence in ministry. Excellence in your calling. Excellence in your career. Excellence in your business. It shall be a year you will exceed the target. You will exceed the mark. You will exceed the expectations. You will exceed the expectations. It shall be a year to go over and beyond. To go over and beyond. To go over and beyond. It shall be known as a year of much more. Exceeding expectations. Your hands are now blessed hands. Your mind is now blessed. Your mind is now blessed with ideas. The Lord will close this year for you with a miracle. And open the next year with a miracle. The last 10 days of this year and the first 10 days of next year shall be marked with miracles for you. And that miracle will be the Lord setting you in motion for what He will do for the next year. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is confirming the words of His servants. And these words will stand. Your children are blessed. Your relatives are blessed. Your going out and coming out, coming in is blessed. The Lord prosper you. The Lord uphold you. The Lord make you bigger and better. The Lord cause you to stand out. To stand out. To stand out. In the name of Jesus. is our year, the next year, to be excellent. To be the standout people. To be God's chosen people. In the name of Jesus. You will enjoy special preference. Men will prefer you. Nations will prefer you. In the name of Jesus. Ministers get set. Next day shall be for announcements. Many of you begin to have the attention of many churches around. Because the hand of the Lord is distinguishing you. And the lead the devil has put over you is hereby removed. You won't fight for it. You won't compete for it. You don't have to push yourself. The Lord will push you himself in ministry. The Lord has done it. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. May the Lord mark you with that difference. That distinguishing factor. That thing that will make the nations of the earth say the Lord is with you. Is upon you right now. I said it's upon you right now. In the name of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet all over this place. And if you believe these words that have come forth, can we give a loud shout in this place, all over this place? Next day will be powerful. We will excel. I'm going to tell you the word for next year, but that will be later. But there are about three words in my spirit. One of them is next year for many, she's going to be of missions. That's one thing the Lord said about next year. Missions. We're going to go all and out for the gospel. Again, next year is going to be the year, like I already said, of excellence. One of you will excel. I mean, by excelling, I mean you will exceed the target. You will exceed what is expected. Some of you will set targets for yourself and then the Lord will push you above it. The way the Lord put it in my heart, he said, it shall be a year of over and beyond. You will go over and beyond the target. You will achieve so much with so little. Are you following what I'm saying? And one of the thoughts the Lord said to me about next year, it shall be a year where dreams come true. These are the three things I heard about the next year. The year of missions, heavy missions, excellence, and a year where dreams come true. The Lord will show you next year that dreams can come true. So if you will find things you've been nursing in your heart for long, remember this thing I'm saying. Because your testimony next day will be dreams came true. My God, I see you living your dream next year. These are not empty words. These are not wishes. These are words that must be. The dream of the house will come true next year. That travel dream will come true next year. The dream of that job will come through next year. The dream of that marriage will come through next year. The dream for a child will come through next year. The dream for a wife will come through, a husband will come through next year. The dream for a massive church will come through next year. The dream for a massive ministry, it shall be a way dreams come through. Don't forget it. Expect it. Next year we are exceeding the mark. We are exceeding the target. We are exceeding the target. Churches will begin to enjoy this. You will bring in 100 seats. 120 people will come in. Exceeding the target. You will set 1,000 seats for your crusade. 1,005 will come in. You will get a hall that can seat 200 people. 300 will come in. You will exceed the target. Shout amen, somebody. I wish you can go with these words and fight with them and see that they happen. That next year you will carry your baby in your hand. That baby may not be whatever thing that has been a dream in your heart, You will bet it next year. You will carry the business documents in your hand. You will carry that car in your... You will carry it. So the person that will be foolish next year is the one who has no dream. The one who has no dreams. Because next year, dreams will come true. So do you have dreams? Do you have dreams? Keep your dream alive throughout next year. Keep them alive. Your dreams, keep them alive. Keep them alive. Pray with them. Confess them. Dreams will come true next year. I see many, I've said that before, and I'm seeing it in the spirit again. I see many businesses. Because the Lord showed me where I entered, I was entering business. Have I said that here? Where I entered many businesses and was commissioning many businesses and all of that, physical spaces. I see that it will happen next year. That business dream in your heart will happen next year. Though this place is still under construction, but we dreamt of having a meeting in our facility last year. Today is a reality today. Your dream will be your reality. So if your dream is a sickness-free year, the Lord will give it to you. So if you spent a fortune on medication and hospital this year, your dream will come true. The dream of a first class will come true. The dream of a sound, solid result will come true. That is someone the Lord said I should say, you will graduate next year. I don't know who has that word. But there are challenges around your graduation and all of that. I said next year, you will graduate with your set. You will graduate next year. The challenges should have been sorted. Dreams will come true. Do you believe in a God that brings dreams to come to pass? Let's give him praise. It's been an amazing 4 days, right? Oh, yes. Lift your hands and bless him. You are eminently glorious. Yes.
On and on.
Yes.
But my words are not enough.
Come on.
My vocabulary will fail me.
Yes.
But permit me to cry. If I owe, if
you are eminently glorious, come on.
You are eminently glorious.
Yes.
Immaculately beautiful. I can go on and on, on and on.
Thank you, Jesus.
But my words are not enough. My vocabulary will fail me.
Yes, yes, yes. Whoosh.
But permit me to cry. If I
will. Read one last time. You are eminently glorious.
You are eminently glorious. Immaculately beautiful. I can go on and on, on and on. But my words are not enough. Permit me to cry. Iba ho, Iba.
Iba ho,
Iba ho, Iba. Iba ho, Iba.
Come on.
Iba ho, Iba.
Iba ho, Iba.
Iba ho, Iba.
God give you a testimony these 4 days. Like, Seth, do you have a testimony? You will share it with us, right? Send a testimony. If what you can do is out there, pick a testimony slip and write it and let us know what God has done. details of this program should be available soon. The Lord spoke to me. He said, it has been happening. He said, but from now, much more. He said, I will preserve the experiences of your meetings now in your tapes. The Lord said that to me. What that means is that if you listened to the meeting yesterday, you will have the same experience. So don't cut out many things. The Lord said that to me this morning. He said, now I will preserve. If that's been happening, he said, but much more now I will preserve the experiences of your meetings in your tapes. So if you are sick and you listen to Healing Line, you're going to be fine. That happens all the time, but for the Lord to speak this to us now, it's not a special flow that's opened up to us. Are you following me now? So if you are sick, you know anybody that is sick, you can get that Healing Line night. Play it from the time we started singing to the time we finished ministering, and you're going to see results. Let's give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.